Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
The Mental Health Commission has warned of, and I'm quoting, an almost total absence of community mental health resources here. They say that they found major gaps in the availability of specialist rehabilitation outside the acute bed system in our hospitals. And they also found that treatments for hundreds of mental health patients are being delayed due to the total absence of the community supports. So, are you someone who has experienced that? Have you felt, or have you found more likely, that there is a total lack of mental health resources in your area? And is it for you? Is it for a member of your family? And what have you done? Have you tried to go private? Have you tried to just muddle along as best you can? Not easy to do. And why? Why do we have this still ongoing, that in an era where we say, you know, it's good to talk and it's okay to not be okay, and mental health is something we all know is an issue for people and all of that, why do we still treat it like it is somehow the Cinderella of the mental health service, when it has an incredibly pervasive effect on someone's life? If you are someone who is depressed or is struggling in some way, the effect that that has on you is far more profound than if you're, you know, on your quality of life, than if you're walking around with high blood pressure or something. And we've no lack of blood pressure medication or people being able to get treated and diagnosed with that. So why is mental health, is it the stigma thing still? Why is it treated in this same way, do you think? 53106 is the text line. And to discuss this now, I am joined by Finola O'Callaghan, who is from the Grow Mental Health Recovery, and she is the area coordinator in the Southern Region. Finola, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Kieran.
Were you surprised, or what was your reaction when you heard that Mental Health Commission say that there is an almost total absence of community support?
I suppose not all that surprised, Kira, and I guess what I wanted to come here to talk to you today was about what is available within our community. The organisation that I'm representing, Grow Mental Health Recovery, I mean, we've been in existence for 50 years here in Ireland, long before a Vision for Change framework was ever even thought about. And a Vision for Change, it sets out, I guess, the ideal provisions for mental health care out in the community for people who are suffering from mental health problems. And I guess Grow embraces all that it puts forward, treating where possible individuals in the community and being very recovery focused rather than just maintaining people in their illness. And, I guess the feedback I would get quite a lot from members coming to our organisation is that it's very much, when they can get in to see a mental health profession, is that it is very medically based, and very few referrals then to talking therapies or organisations such as ourselves, which are recovery orientated.
That would have been my reflection on it too, that if I had somebody when I was a doctor who would have had mental health difficulties, if I sent them into the psychiatry services of the HSE, that there were quite a lot of psychiatrists, not enough perhaps, but quite a lot. But there was an absolute dearth of things like psychologists or counsellors or things like that. That was more difficult to try and access. So, and maybe it is that, maybe it's simpler rather than the more time consuming and effort based to talk to people. So to throw tablets at them. And I'm not trying to write off psychiatry in that way, but I would agree with you. Tell me what Grow do. Are you a charity based organisation?
We are. And we, as I said, have been operating for 50 years. We offer a structured peer support 12-step programme for anyone who's struggling with any aspect of their emotional or mental health well-being. It's about recovery, but it's also about ongoing self-development and education around mental illness. And, I guess an area that I'm really passionate about is prevention. No more than if we're physically ill, don't let it get to such a low level that we are at rock bottom before we reach out for help. So Grow works on a number of levels. And I suppose it's the peer support that is of its greatest benefit to the individuals coming along to Grow.
And when you say it's a 12-step program, is that a little bit like the 12-step programs that people use for addiction, but it's not only about addiction?
That's right. It evolved from Alcoholics Anonymous. Its founder, Con Keogh, set it up in Australia over 60 years ago. And it was, he found that a lot of people I mean, he came to AA because there was nothing out in the community by means of mental health support. So he started attending Alcoholics Anonymous. But he found the whole 12-step program and peer support to be of such enormous benefit that that's why he set up GROW.
So is it the same type of, you know, I think a lot of people are relatively familiar with AA, that there are AA meetings and you go and people can talk and it is peer support and there is a program. But this is for people maybe who don't have have addiction or don't
They can. Often it overlaps, but it's specifically for mental health and emotional issues.
Okay. So you do, which is interesting, you do treat or you do support people with dual diagnosis.
What we would be doing is referring people who might have addiction issues to specialist services, and we would then focus on the mental health aspect.
And Fionnuala, are you able to accommodate all the people who want to come to GROW? Because that sounds wonderful, but you know, in my experience, and I think what the Mental Health Commission are saying is that there simply is in many areas an absolute absence of resources. Are you saying that they're overlooking people like you, or are you saying that you are overstretched?
Our problem, I guess, Ciara, is the difficulty in trying to get the word out there. And we would rely very much on referrals from GPs and from the mental health professionals, because, you know, they're at the coalface of treating people with mental health illness. And we find that less and less we are getting our referrals from these areas. And so whether it's, I appreciate the time constraints of GPs and psychiatrists, but there is so much we can do out in the community that can help people work on their recovery.
Okay. And is GROW nationwide?
It is. And we have 130 meetings nationwide, and they'd be, you know, stretch across urban, suburban and rural areas.
Okay. I'm very interested because, truthfully, I hadn't heard of you, and I've heard of so many organisations, you know, I'm obviously not an encyclopedia, but I've heard of so many, which means you're right that considering what I used to do, clearly there isn't the message getting out.
Yeah.
What kind of people could go to a GROW, and can they self-refer? Can somebody?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
It's open to anyone over the age of 18 years of age. And people come from all walks of life for all different reasons. It can be depression, anxiety, it can be isolation, bereavement. We don't get into diagnoses. What we are is a peer support.
If they self-identify as that they are struggling.
That's right.
And they want to talk. They want to get involved. Because I have heard, I mean, Aware and things like that, they do those kind of peer support meetings, and I was aware of those. So it's the same idea. And you go along to a meeting. You don't, is it free?
It's free. Yeah, it's free. It's confidential. It's non-denominational. I guess what makes GROW unique is that it's a program. It's not just a talking shop. We offer a program of recovery. And we encourage and empower everyone at their own pace to take those small steps towards getting out of their rut, becoming unstuck.
What kind of things do you see, Fionnuala, out there? You know, people I do believe really do struggle. I think the struggle is real. And, you know, you only have to look at this particular week. There was obviously a very high profile death of Caroline Flack, who clearly, and I don't know if people have read, it's worth reading. There was an Instagram post that her family have published, and she wrote it but didn't put it up herself, but they have put it up. And in it she says that she wasn't looking for her job back, that she was looking for her life back, and that seeing all the things that are said about her was incredibly distressing. And she went on to say things like, nobody knows the ins and outs of any of these things, but that the incident with her boyfriend was an accident, and all the blood that was on the front of the tabloids was hers, not his. And she said she doesn't even want to talk about that because that was a very private thing. But it looked like she was alluding to self-harming or something along those lines. And
yes.
But certainly what came off that post by her was a level of distress that was actually very sad to read. And it's dreadful when people get to a point where they feel that they have no one to talk to.
It is. And it really pained me reading through that Instagram post that she didn't put up, the pain that she was going through. And, you know, part of me just was so frustrated that, you know, she felt she was in a situation where she couldn't reach out and access the supports which she so badly needed.
Clearly.
And quite often, Ciara, that's what people need, is just a supportive listening ear. You know, when people come to a group, quite often they're not going to be able to solve their problem. Invariably, they're not going to be able to solve their problems there and then. But it's getting that empathy and the listening ear of others that can be so beneficial.
Yeah.
And just that somebody cares.
And if somebody wanted to make contact with Grow and they thought, you know what, this sounds good. I like the idea. And as you say, it is confidential. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous.
That's
that,
right.
That if
yes.
someone turns up, the next person at the meeting won't be saying, do you know who I saw in the meeting last week? It won't be like that.
No.
If somebody wanted to make contact with Grow and maybe go to a meeting, even
yeah.
I think a lot of people feel very intimidated in the beginning. They just want to sit down the back and say nothing. And that's okay, I presume, too.
Well, we absolutely encourage that. And I would say to anyone who's interested in coming along to our meetings, don't feel under any pressure to do or say anything for the first few meetings. Just sit back, listen, and, you know, determine whether or not it's for you. But absolutely, by all means, come along. No referrals are necessary.
And if they Google you, they'll find you, Grow?
Yeah, we're on Grow, www.grow.ie or infoline 1890 474 474.
And lastly, Fionnuala, I know that you unfortunately had a fire in your Cork City office.
That's
here.
Right.
Do you have a fundraiser to try and get back on your feet?
Yes, we do. This Friday night, John Spillane has very generously given up of his time to come and do a gig here in Cork City on Spalpeen Fornock, 8 o'clock Friday evening. Tickets are €20 and they're available on Eventbrite. So I would urge any of you who are interested in a good night Friday night, please come along and you'll be supporting a very worthwhile cause.
Good stuff. Listen, thank you very much for coming in and speaking to me. That is Fionnuala O'Callaghan there from Grow Mental Health Recovery, and you can find them on grow.ie. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Lunchtime Live with Ciara Kelly on News Talk.
We have been talking about mental health. I just had Fionnuala O'Callaghan in from Grow talking about community-based mental health resources. There's a significant lack of them, but Grow sounds like an actually very good organisation and people should check them out. But Bernadette is on the line. Bernadette, what do you think of what the Mental Health Commission has said, that there is an almost total absence of community mental health resources?
Hi, good afternoon, Ciara.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I would say I would totally agree with it, and I'm speaking from experience. How would I say this? I had to leave work in when was it? 2018. Yeah, 2018. At the end of 2018, I just knew I wasn't sure it was a burnout. I didn't know what it was really, but I just knew I couldn't continue. So that was fine. So I was out of work, and I was like, "What do I do now?" I'm at home, fairly depressed about what's going on, and I don't know where to turn. And I did search a lot on Google for community services, and I couldn't find any. So it was great that Fionnuala was on, because I didn't know about Grow either. And I just checked on their site, and they have the support group around the corner for me. So, I mean, so there's something there around communication, and they need to...
I didn't know about them. And I actually, weirdly, when I was working in that area, had often thought, you know what would be great? An AA-type organisation that wasn't for alcoholics.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, that would be very helpful. But so did you go to your GP?
That peer support is really
very
critical.
Important.
And the work that AWARE does, which is very similar, maybe not as structured, but that peer support is hugely powerful. I'm sorry, yes. Did I go to my GP? Yes, if I go back, when did I go to my GP? No, actually, I had been going to my GP. I had lost my mum. I got married 6 weeks later, which was tough. She put me on antidepressants, which I think a lot of GPs, maybe you didn't, do. And it's not necessarily, you know, she wasn't necessarily treating. I don't think I was depressed. So I was on those. Then she talked about a psychologist who was in John of God's, and she'd gone to hear him speak, and he sounded amazing, and it sounded exactly resonated with me, you know, rumination, living in the past, not the present, and all of that. So I Googled him, and I checked him out, and I got an email, a private email, emailed him, and I got in, because actually there's an issue even with private services. To even access private services is very difficult. You can't just rock up at the door and say, I need support. But anyway, I was lucky to get in with him. So I was in with him during 2017. But during the year, there was ups and downs, and it was coming up to Christmas, and our friends were from Berlin, and they were staying in the house, and we live in a very tiny house, a little Guinness house, you know. And
I know them.
I was in great form. It was before Christmas. I had been kind of not in great form before that in November. So it was July to with myself. I love Christmas FM. So I had that blaring, like really loudly, which I thought was fine because it's Christmas. And they were saying, "Burr, turn it down." I was like, "What? Why are you being, you know, party poopers?" So I luckily had an appointment with the psychologist on Christmas week, unusually. So, and my husband said he's going to come with me. And we sat there and the psychologist said, "I think he's got bipolar. Take her credit cards off for now." I was there going, "What? What are you doing?" And go to the GP immediately. So we went to the GP and he gave me just very high dosage medication because I hadn't slept in months probably. Okay. So then they set up an appointment for a psychiatrist in January. But that was because I was in the system, the private system. That wouldn't have been very easy to rock up to John of God's and say, "I need to see a psychiatrist," or even for a GP to do. I don't know how easy that is. So really, I suppose that was the beginning of my journey, to be honest. Because I didn't know what was wrong with me. And if you don't know what's wrong with you, it's very hard to respond or get treatment or lots of things. And I guess in the end, you know, I spent up until September, until I dropped out of work because I had to. And at that point, he said, okay, when I dropped out of work, I tried everything. I went online. I signed up to programs on positivity. I did hypnotherapy. I did acupuncture. I did yoga. I went cycling. I joined the DSPCA. I did all the things that
you did, you
know, when you read
you possibly
up.
Could.
Yeah. How do you, you know, deal with your mental health?
Did you do, Bernadette Pett, did you do too much maybe?
No, because I was like here all the time. I don't have children. So it was like, what am I going to do? And sit around the house.
Yeah. No,
and get more depressed.
I know. And
it's kind of difficult.
Now? Oh, so no, I'm sure.
I guess what happened then, I went back to the psychiatrist, you know, because I had he had me on different meds for mood stabilizer. There was no diagnosis at this point. And I went back into him. I told him everything I was doing and the fact I wasn't in work. And he just turned to me and he said, "Listen, you're not going to like this, but I think you should be admitted." That's a pretty hard thing. So I ended up in there for 3 months, and it was only in December, late December, just before Christmas, beautifully timed, that they diagnosed me with bipolar. And it really kind of shocked me because most people are diagnosed in their 20s, and I'm in my late 40s. So I was asking him, why is this coming up now? And he said, often it can surface through to stress and trauma. Yeah. And I just went, oh, my God.
And you...
How many of us are living with trauma and stress? A lot of us.
Yeah. No, I can.
So, but anyway,
can I ask you lastly? Unfortunately, we're up against it for the news, maybe.
No,
but
course,
can I ask you one last question?
Sure.
Did you feel that you had to kind of battle to be heard or battle to get, I suppose, treatment? Because that sounds like quite a long road to get a diagnosis.
It was a long
Yeah. Yeah, it's
hard,
isn't
it? I think, well, there was a year where it was hard because they were just, you know, giving me mood stabilizers and doing talk therapy with the psychologist and, you know, all those kind of lighter surface things. But like when we didn't know, the diagnosis is very hard. And a diagnosis for bipolar is really difficult. You know yourself.
Yeah, and there's different types of bipolar too.
Yeah, there is.
I do not mean at all to cut you off. It's just the 1 o'clock news is coming and I don't
I'm just really glad that you've put it on because, you know, we're not talking about it. It is still stigmatized.
We're
and we're losing people every day through suicide.
We are.
Young people, older people. And they're not hitting the media because that's just Johnny Murphy down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. And in a way, that's why Caroline Flack... why it's an important thing to talk about, because as you say, Johnny Murphy down the road, no one talks about his very sad passing, but this is at least making people talk about the struggle that people have. And listen, thank you and the very best of luck to you.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you. 53106, lads, we're talking about the absence, and it is an almost complete absence of community-based mental health resources. But we did talk to Finola earlier from Grow, and that does sound like something that people perhaps should plug into, and it sounds like a very good idea. Let's take a break.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
before the news there, we were discussing mental health and the absence of mental health supports in the community. Loads of texts coming in. Dear Kira, I recently witnessed a young man having a psychotic episode. The Gardaí and the ambulance had to be called, and he was brought to hospital but released later that day because he was 17 and there was no services available for him. The threats this young man made to his local community, his parents and himself were scary, and the lack of support for his poor parents is heartbreaking. Please don't ask me to speak on air because I don't want to be able to be identified or for his family to be identified. Yeah, there is an absolute scandal about 17-year-olds that the adult services say, oh, not old enough to come to us, and the paediatric or the mental health for adolescent services often say, oh no, too old for our services. It is absolutely a nonsense that those two services can suggest that there is a year of someone's life with no cover, and it has happened to patients of mine. I rang up the Minister for Health one day to get a patient seen, and he was seen very promptly. Both services offered to see him because, you know, I gave out yards. But should we have to give out yards? Like, joined up thinking, lads. Either you take them at 17 as an adult or you take them at 18 as an adult. And if, whatever age you take them at as an adult, that's the age that they should be no longer cared for by CAMHS. And anything else is there is no excuse for it. It's a disgrace, to be fair. Another email. Kira, people see any mental health issue as a weakness. We are all supposed to be full, complete, perfect, accomplished, strong people nowadays due to this idealistic picture that social media paints. People fake their mental happiness to ensure people think well of them. Everyone does it, in my opinion. Yeah, I think I've done it myself on occasion. I've kind of gone, oh no, I'm fine. And maybe I'm not always fine. I think a lot of us do that sometimes, just because we're private, or not so much to be perfect, but people are very private about their issues, I think. And another one says, Kira, the pressure of having a perfect life is causing mental health issues, whether or not you are actually prone to them, i.e. even if you don't suffer from anything, people are constantly made to feel less than they should. It is the way that life has gone now. It is very, very sad. Yeah, I totally agree. And I've often wondered about Caroline Flack. Did she have mental health issues, or was she pushed? And certainly whether she had them or not, she was pushed. And that is extraordinarily sad. 53106.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.